Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2, MR2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. And yes, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I'm here with my buddies. Hi, friends.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton. And it is definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And it is very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well, as always. And as you guys know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry. And it's called the Unity Center for UniversalProsperity.com. And it's Y-O Universal because it is about your spiritual growth.
Yes, we believe that. And we want to provide resources to help you. And to get those, just come to our website, real quick link, ucfyp.com.
And I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you'll find my calendar, where are my doings, where are my goings, what I'm up to, as well as The Absolute Word, which is my weekly blog. And we have an example at the end of the program. And of course, Metaphysical Romp is about using metaphysics in a practical way in our everyday life. We could call it practical metaphysics, but I'm really kind of leaning towards useful metaphysics these days. Okay, so we are in part three on a series on forgiveness, and we are going to get romping and share. Take it away.
All right. This is going to be our final show on forgiveness. And well, at this point anyway, it may come up again at another time. We've been looking at seven keys to forgiveness, which are steps you can take or actions you can take as you go through a forgiveness process. We have gone through four of those already. So we're going to focus on those last three, five, six, and seven for this
Great.
Show. Let's just dive in with number five. Number five is, if forgiveness is difficult, call upon other strengths. So this is telling you that forgiveness is always hard when you're dealing with the injustice from others, and it takes time sometimes to recover from those hurts. And because it does take that time, we have a lot of powers within us that we can call on to help. And you know that the three of us are big on the 12 powers plus one that we've added. So asking yourself, which of those powers can help you as you move forward?
I think you said it all there, Cher.
Wondering, like strength, inner strength. We may need to call on that inner strength. You can remember we have the power of dominion, so we can claim that dominion over it. So we would encourage you to just ask yourself. It's a way to go into your own meditation saying, okay, what powers can come out and help me as I go through this process?
Yeah. And when we talk about strength and dominion, I always like to throw in faith.
Faith.
You got to believe it's possible. Yeah.
Definitely.
And I like to throw in question anything, as in question unquestion answers that you may be harboring within your own consciousness and emotionality that may not exactly be correct, but you think it might be correct in terms of not forgiving and to question those kind of things.
A good example.
When we're in unforgiveness, that's an answer we haven't questioned.
Yes. I was going to say this one statement to begin to question is that statement, this is unforgivable.
Yes.
Oh, there's no way I can forgive that person.
Yep.
Put a question mark after that instead of a period. And that will open your mind to ideas that can help you.
Yeah.
Making the choice.
Definitely. Definitely.
Okay. So call on those other strengths. Number six is huge. And it's one that I agree is probably the most difficult. Number six is forgive yourself.
Well, self-forgiveness is usually a huge roadblock for people.
Yep.
We find in our work with folks that that's generally the toughest thing to do. And the regrets that people have, regrets when you think about it, is lack of forgiving yourself.
It absolutely is. And that really ties into that definition I've shared from Jerry Jampolsky, because, and that definition is, forgiveness happens when you're willing to let go of any hope of a better past. When we're in regrets, we are wishing we had done the past better.
Yes.
And so self-forgiveness really cues in on that one for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And a nice thing to do for yourself, because I just experienced this about an hour ago because we are making some changes in our Zoom accounts. And based on information they told me, I canceled the old account. Well, then they wiped everything out. I was supposed to have access to it, and they wiped it all out. So I'm now dealing with getting all that recovered, and it's a mess. And I said to Bill, my intuition told me don't jump the gun so quick, you know, don't get rid of it yet. But I wanted to get out of that old one, and I did it. And I was just repeating that. And Bill said, you know, let that go. Just forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so funny when we just said this, that's exactly, it was that regret. I wish I could go back and redo it. And that's, you have to just let those things go because they'll eat you alive.
And this is where that self-empathy or self-compassion comes in. Absolutely. And just as a reminder to our listeners, self-compassion has three components: kindness, we're all human, and mindfulness, where mindfulness is all about being in the present. Yes. And the we're all human is we all make mistakes. We all make errors. Beating ourselves up about them doesn't make us a better person. I think it actually makes us a worse person.
Mm, yeah. It definitely drains our energy and takes it away from what we need to be focusing yep. on.
And you know, the therapeutic effects of self-forgiveness is soul soothing. It's a powerful therapy when you think about it. It's something that you must do for your own good, for your own sanity, and for your own peace of mind.
Mm. Yeah. And I think this is where previously all I said that really all forgiveness is a form of self-forgiveness, because we can be unforgiving towards another person and that person doesn't even know you're doing that. Mm-hmm. So you're only doing it to yourself.
That's
and,
true.
And working through it is so, so important.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the key to ask yourself is, how can I use this next time? What can I learn from this for next time, rather than I wish I had?
Yeah.
Just the next time. And I'll like learning, if you said, my intuition told me, why didn't I listen? Instead, pay attention to what that felt like, so that when it happens again, you'll know, oh, I better listen this time. You'll recognize. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Listen to that inner voice, that inner knower.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So forgive yourself. And we could talk for a long time about self-forgiveness, but just know that that's a key piece of the process. And number seven, this one's big too, because we all do it. Stop telling and retelling your story, including any thoughts, feelings, and judgments ever again.
Yeah, this is a biggie. And this is why I think most people feel like their forgiveness processes don't work. And it's because as soon as you start retelling that story to yourself or to another person, you're kind of reactivating it again. Mm-hmm. And you're starting from zero again.
Right. And usually it gets more emotional every time you tell it in your head. You add details, you get more vivid, you think about what you should have said, and the whole story, it changes as you tell it.
Yeah. Well, that's because every time we activate a memory, we change it a little bit anyway.
That's right.
So the stories get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yep. And they're blown out of proportions, of course. And you know, this kind of self-care is what we call recharging your worthiness batteries.
Yes, yes.
Nice. And over the long term.
And Cher mentioned the importance of really knowing what your somatic stuff that's going on, what's going on in your body when your intuition is saying one thing and you're wanting to do something else. Well, you have to become aware of what it feels like when you're moving back into that unforgiveness state. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways you do that is actually journal about it. Before you even do the forgiveness process, write the story down in excruciating detail. And there's another reason why that's good. You know, it lets you be aware of when you're activating the story. But you can also say, I've already written that down. I know all the details. I don't have to rehash them.
Yeah.
Or when it's your inner voice doing it, you can say, okay, ego, I know you're trying to protect me, but I've already forgiven that. I've already let it go.
It could be that we go through another round of the forgiveness process.
Yes. Will you repeat that again?
Yeah, it could be that we just need to let go or go through another forgiveness process because we haven't fully let it go yet. And so we just move to a new level of the forgiveness work.
It's that old story about peeling the onion, that you get layer after layer after layer.
Yeah. A quick activity we could share that we created around self-care. It's a forgiving yourself was the actual process it was designed for. And are you familiar with the Cairns? Most of our viewers should be, if you may not know the name for it, but it says all those stones that are piled one on top of another, and they may be different sizes and shapes, but they create that kind of like a little statuette of stones. And so the activity is to create a cairn of self-love and self-care, to go out and just collect a pile. You can do it with real stones, or you can do it with Legos, or you can do it with pieces of paper, depending on how big you want to get with it. But imagine stones. You go out and collect different stones, and on each one, write an issue that's weighing you down, that you're still carrying around a regret or a past action or something about yourself that you want to forgive. And each stone represents it, and kind of match the size of the stone with the size of the issue. And then when you do that, take each stone and go through meditation where you choose to forgive yourself and release the power, or release any power you have given to it, or any pain you've given to that particular thing. Just release the power you've given to it, and ask yourself how you can use the experience for good. And when you're through with the process, and this could take a while, then use the stones to create your own cairn. And you can use glue, by the way.
I recommend using glue.
Because you'll have it, and it becomes a testament to your forgiveness.
Yeah. And your ability to forgive.
Yes. Right?
I just thought of something too, listening to Sarah about the cairn. During the week, during the month, as you think about the things that you have released, the things that you have forgiven others and as well as yourself, every time you have that kind of forgiveness, use a different kind of cairn. The cairn I'm suggesting here, and I'm serious when I say this, is to use your coins, whether it's nickels, dimes, pennies, quarters, and put them on top of each other, creating a cairn every time you have a forgiving thought. And then at the end of the month, donate that money to your church.
Ah, that's a really good idea. And it's really easy to do right at your desk, right? And it doesn't have to be this big fancy thing. It's just a representation of an inner process, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's
wow. Cool. Wow, that's great. So I think what we got to do is a little review here, okay?
Okay.
Let's talk about forgiveness. It's a process of giving up the false for the true. Now, someone's out there listening, false for the true, that person actually did it to me. Or did something to me. What we're talking about, what's false is our judgments of the person.
Ah, yes.
That stuff that we've made up. And it's erasing error from the mind and body. So it's important that we do processes that release this stuff from the body. That's why when people are angry, we recommend they walk or do something like that, or beat pillows or something like that. So remember, the mind and body are a unit. So we want to erase the whole system. Forgiveness really means the giving up of something, something we're attached to, some judgment, some resentment we have on others. And forgiveness removes the errors of the mind, the errors we make in consciousness. Did you guys want to add anything about that? I went through it really fast.
I think that pretty much says it. I think the important thing to remember here is it's all about what's happening within you.
Yes.
It's a process for you, and it's not about the other person, even though it could be about what they did. It's your perception and feeling and thoughts about what they did.
And I'm going to go to something Paul started with about the process of giving up the false for the true, using the word forgiving, separating the for from the giving. It's a process of forgiving up the false for the true.
Yes.
Nice. Yes.
Very well done there, Bill. You are such the word guy. Okay. Then we want to talk about forgiveness does not mean condoning or agreeing with a horrendous act. It is a decision to no longer attack oneself.
Yeah. And I think that is so critical that I want to make sure everybody gets that, because that's what we hear so often when we do classes around forgiveness is, yeah, but that means I'm given permission to do it. Accountability and forgiveness are two different things.
Two different things. And you don't necessarily forget what they've done. You can still remember what they've done, but it's without the charge anymore.
We like to say instead of forgive and forget, it's forgive and release.
And release. Yes. Yeah, that tells me, release tells me releasing my hold on whatever that is, but that is, might still be there.
Sure, you're going to. I mean, you can't. It's unrealistic to think you would forget everything.
Right.
Memory issue.
The perpetrator might still have consequences for what they have done. Forgiveness is not necessarily about letting a person off the hook.
Bingo.
Yeah. Yeah. And these are things that people, the reason why people do hold on to them, because they don't want to let them off the hook. It's also about dismantling the negative assessment we have about them. Probably should have started with that one when you think about it. It's about dismantling the negative assessment we have about them. And that goes back to the idea of giving up the false for the true, right? Okay, so where are we here? Is it time to pivot?
Yeah, I want to add just one more little quick note is that there are different levels of difficulty around forgiveness. And I think it's important to be aware of that. I mean, it's one thing to forgive a person who said something that hurt you. That's one thing. Somebody who murdered a loved one of yours, that's something much deeper.
Yeah.
Just being able to allow yourself the compassion and empathy for yourself as you go through the process.
Yep.
It's very important to do it regardless of the depth of the issue, but some will be easy, some will be difficult. And I don't want people to think we have glossed over that deep, difficult.
Yes,
kind of.
So I think it's important to emphasize that. And it's also important to recognize that there are people walking the planet who have forgiven such things. Absolutely. I know of a woman whose son was murdered by his best friend. And over a period of years, she got to a point of forgiveness. And she was instrumental on that person who killed her son in getting released from the prison. And he was released to her custody. And she eventually ended up being the godmother of his first child.
Wow.
So forgiveness can happen in all kinds of situations at depth. And again, it's about helping oneself. Okay, so let's pivot to the absolute word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication that has been used with permission. So this comes from March 20th, 2022. The word is positivity. And I got to tell you, I had to look that up because I wasn't sure positivity was a word. And it turns out it is. You know, we talk about negativity till we're blue in the face, but positivity is a word. I plant positivity thoughts and feelings. I harvest joy. Plants grow best in good soil. Weeds need to be pulled and the soil prepared so the seeds have the optimal conditions in which to grow. The seeds need to be watered and nurtured. Today, I tend the garden of my consciousness. I pull the weeds of worrisome and unforgiving thoughts and feelings by withdrawing any power or importance I may have given them. I create a fertile environment through regular prayer and meditation. I tap into the place of peace, stillness, and infinite possibilities. Using my thoughts and feelings, I decree and put a demand on the divine ideas of wholeness, abundance, generosity, and joy for myself and others. Like bright, beautiful flowering plants, these thoughts and feelings grow and bloom in my consciousness according to the law of mind action. I plant positivity, thoughts, and feelings. I harvest joy. And friends, it's been a joy to be sharing this information with you. We hope it was useful and interesting. I am the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off for now. Goodbye, Bill. Goodbye, Cher.
Bye. This is Cher saying thank you for listening, and we affirm infinite possibilities for you.
Until next time, this is the Reverend Doc Bill Holton, and we three invite you to embrace your positivity-ness this week.